Mixtape Podcast.
Yeah, what it do? Mobbing with the crew, nothing new. I thought you knew, thought I was falling off. Blessings keep on falling through. Oh, don't panic, dog. Grow a boo, I can't lose. No, I can't lose.
Yo, what's good, Knicks fans? I am Ja So Focused.
I'm French the Bro host, and we would like to welcome you to
the Knicks Take Podcast.
This is episode 74.
And this is a weekly podcast where we give you the biggest Knicks news of the week.
Make sure to follow us on our socials. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter /X by searching for the Knicks Take.
Also, please make sure to check us out at our website, KnicksTake.com.
And lastly, if you love what you hear, please subscribe to us on whatever platform that you're watching or listening to us on. And most importantly, hit that thumbs up button and notification bell if you're watching on YouTube. And please share this with any fellow Knicks fans who might enjoy the show. And now the show.
Yes.
You got to be quicker.
You got to be quicker than that. All right, y'all, we got a lot to get into today. We're going to do what we do every week, which is we'll go over this past week's games. Knicks played three games this week, three W's, one against the Charlotte Hornets, one against the Utah Jazz, and one against the Indiana Pacers. Then we will go into some of the biggest Knicks news of the week this week. We're going to cover some things that have happened in regards to Julius Randle and Jalen Brunson, their all-star status. We're going to go into Julius Randle's injury update that we talked about last week. And we're also going to go into a secret meeting that happened and was announced yesterday and what that could potentially mean. And then after that, we're going to go into the upcoming week, the upcoming games. And if we have time, we'll get another additional discussion based on how we're feeling about these New York Knicks.
For sure.
But let's start off with the first game, the first recap / review of the Knicks week.
The first game of the week, the Charlotte Hornets came to town to face off against the New York Knicks in Madison Square Garden. As to our surprise, we knew Julius Randle's shoulder injury would have him out for a little while, so he's not in this game. But there also was no OG Anunoby due to elbow inflammation. I said that right?
You said a lot of L's. Elbow inflammation.
I didn't say elbow, but it's cool. Josh Hart and Precious Achiuwa.
We'll run it back.
were introduced into the starting lineup as a result of this. Remember when we made that trade and I was like, I like Precious Achiuwa? You was like, we ain't got to talk about him. You still feel that way?
Did I say that?
Yeah.
I got to go back in the episodes.
Because it's time to talk about Precious this week.
So here's the thing with Precious, right? He's been playing amazingly. He's been playing very good. At the end of the day, when we get to the playoffs, is he going to be a part of our rotation?
Don't move the goalposts.
Is he going to be a part of our rotation?
He should be, yeah. He could play the four. He could play the five. He's shown it.
Is Tom Thibodeau playing 10 players in the rotation in the playoffs? No, he's not. So that means, let's say that this is the team that we have. We know who the starters are going to be. Jalen Brunson, Dante DiVincenzo, OG Anunoby, Julius Randle, and one of Mitchell Robinson and Isaiah Hartenstein. Whichever one is not in the starting lineup is going to come off the bench. So that's six right there.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have Quentin Grimes. You have Josh Hart. And then who else do we have? Is it going to be Precious? Is it going to be Deuce?
I think so. Yeah. We could go with a 9-man rotation in the playoffs.
So which one? Because I listed three.
You said Josh Hart, Quentin Grimes, said, Precious Achiuwa.
Ho.
Miles McBride. That's
Isaiah Hartenstein is six. Yes. Or Mitchell Robinson. I said that's your sixth person, right? Mm-hmm. Then you have Josh Hart. That's seven. Right? You got Quan Grimes. That's eight. So we're already at eight-man rotation, which is what Tibbs is comfortable with. Mm-hmm. But he might run nine if he has somebody else that he likes. So who is the ninth person? Is it going to be Deuce? Is it going to be Precious? Is it going to be somebody else?
I say Precious. Size.
Over Deuce.
And Deuce is going to probably come in for a few minutes, but Jalen Brunson is going to be the main person receiving minutes in the playoffs. So I don't see Deuce McBride.
It is going to be
playing more than 5 to 10 minutes.
It doesn't matter. That's the 5 to 10 minutes is going to make him the ninth man, which is going to push Precious Chua out because we know Tom Thibodeau is not doing 10 people. So is that moving the goalposts?
Yes. Precious is going back up Randall.
Yeah, it is kind of moving OG Anunoby is going to back up Randall. It's moving the goalposts a little bit, but at the end of the day, a fully healthy Tom Thibodeau Knicks team is probably not playing Precious Achiuwa because we're going to have Isaiah Hartenstein, we're going to have Mitchell Robinson, we're going to have OG Anunoby, and we're going to have Julius Randle. And he's not putting him in over Josh Hart. So this is going to be kind of what it is.
We'll see. This has nothing to do with the Charlotte Hornets game because he didn't even have a crazy game. I just wanted to bring him up because...
You just wanted to argue with me.
I liked the game of the week that he's had. And I feel like this is the game that started it off. He was a plus 21, 9 points, 5 rebounds. Mm-hmm. He had a block, played 33 minutes in this game. But the main takeaway from this game, I felt like, was Dante DiVincenzo is the best shooter on the team. He had 33 points. He was the main catalyst for this game, I feel like. And he hit 9 3-pointers. No, sorry. He hit 5 for 15 from three. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of another game when I said the best shooter, but right? Dante DiVincenzo definitely had a great game with OG Anunoby out. He had 28 points. Mm-hmm. Brunson had 32 points. That's what I was thinking about. He had He only hit 2 threes, but he still was able to put the paint on the Charlotte Hornets. The biggest quarter from this game was the third quarter, which is where they went 17 for 21 from the field, which is kind of crazy. 81% for the third quarter. Charlotte only had 8 for 16 from the field in that third quarter. It was pretty much close throughout the first half, and the Knicks pretty much just ran away with it in the third. The Hornets never came back during the fourth quarter, so it was just pretty much a blowout. Knicks win this game 113-92.
You summed this up a lot longer than I would have. Basically, it was a little close in the first half, and then the third quarter came out, and the Knicks said, all right, we're done playing around. Outscored him by 20 points in the third quarter, 44 to 24 in the third quarter. And that was it. That was the game right there. Right? That was it. That was the only quarter where there was a difference in score that was more than 2 points between the two teams. And like we said last week, Charlotte is not a good team, especially missing LaMelo Ball. And yeah, we were missing Randle. We were missing OG. Am I surprised that we blew this team out by 20 plus points? No, I'm not. So
yeah, they got 7 points total from the bench this game.
Right.
The Hornets did. So it was going to be a long shot for them to win this game. But I don't feel like it was a huge discrepancy in any court outside of the third. That's the only reason why I bring it up.
I mean, that's why that would have been a short kind of recap for me, because third quarter is the only quarter that really mattered. And it was the quarter that was like, all right, we've been fucking around for the first two quarters. Let's put this game away now. And then that was it. They didn't need to play excessively hard in the fourth quarter. They just needed to keep the lead where it was. Yeah. And, you know, let's move on. Knicks won that game 113-92. And they followed it up. It was the first half of a back-to-back. That was the first game was Charlotte Hornets. Mm-hmm. The second half of the back-to-back was against the Utah Jazz. I believe this was a game that you said that you could see the Knicks losing.
No,
it was the Pacers game that comes after this. Yep. The Utah Jazz had been slumping coming into this game. I had noted that last week. And second game of back-to-back. And then we found out, okay, in addition to having no Randle, who we knew was going to be out for a little while, OG was out again. We thought maybe, okay, they rested him for the first game so he could play the second game. Nope, still no OG. In the first half of this game, Quentin Grimes appeared to tweak his ankle and his knee. Like, he was holding his knee, but it looked like his ankle shifted. It looked kind of bad. He got up on his own. He walked off into the locker room under his own power. So I was kind of thinking, okay, maybe he'll shake it off and he'll be able to play in the second half. And in the second half, we did see him come back to the bench and look, you know, he sat on the bench. It looked like he was going to play again in the second half. And I said, that's going to be something to monitor. Let's see if he's going to be in the next game or not. Still, Knicks kind of did what they did against the Charlotte Hornets, right? They messed around a little bit in the first quarter. And then when it came time to like, all right, let's take this over, they took over the game, outscored Utah 36 to 24 in the third quarter, outscored them 30 to 25 in the fourth quarter. And this is another game where Lauri Markkanen, he didn't really do anything. Colin Sexton tried to get up in Jalen Brunson's face. And then once that happened, it was just like, all right.
Yeah, that was a turning
like,
point.
Y'all want to act like y'all want to act like that? All right, watch what we can do once we are tuned into this game. And
yeah, I feel like that was the turning point of the game. That's when DiVincenzo and Josh Hart came alive.
Right.
They definitely had Brunson's back when Sexton was trying to get all in his face and get under his skin.
DiVincenzo went off for 33 points, played good offense and defense from the opening tip. Hit 9 3-pointers in this game. Like
career high.
Yeah, and he had a chance to, he had a couple chances to take the most 3-pointers made by a Knick at the end of the game. He had, I think he had 1 or 2 threes that just missed. But he had an amazing game overall. And, I mean, the only thing about this game, which ended in a victory for the Knicks, 118-103, I felt like second half of back-to-back, you're up 20 points. And I knew that it was, all right, 4 minutes left in the game. Okay. Josh Hart is nearing a triple-double. Okay. Is that important? Not really. Brunson's got damn near 30 points. Is that important? Not really. We could probably just leave Deuce out there. And if it gets close to like 12 or 10 points, then put Jalen Brunson back in. Instead, like we got down to 18 and then Brunson came back in. And now we have our starting lineup. Our most important players are on the court until a minute left in the game. And it's still 16 points, 18 points. It was really not necessary for these guys to be out there. The only thing I didn't like was Tibbs just keeping the guys out there that really didn't need to be out there after 3 minutes left in the game, 2.5 minutes left in the game. You call your timeout, make them foul, get them out. Like Brunson got hit in the face, like when he wasn't even supposed to be on the court, in my opinion. I understand why, but from this Jazz team, the way that they were playing, I don't think that you need to have that kind of fear, even though they did beat us earlier. They shouldn't have given them that kind of respect. But Knicks win. Their eighth straight victory in a row.
Utah had their starters in the game at the time. I felt like,
yeah,
like 100%. I saw what you were saying, and I'm like, damn, we up like 16, 18 points. You probably could take them out, but NBA, you've seen teams come back from.
I'm not saying that they should have put out like, that they should have put Ryan Arcidiacono out there, right? I felt like Deuce's defense could have slowed it down to where it's like, y'all are not going to catch up in the amount of time that you need to. You don't need to have Jalen Brunson out there. You don't need to have Josh Hart out there. Even though he had a triple-double. Actually, no, I'll take that back. Josh Hart had a great game that game. But he had a great game. He didn't need to be out there. Jalen Brunson didn't need to be out there. You already are short. Guys, don't leave yourself an opportunity to be short even more guys when you don't have to. I think if it gets down to 12, all right, cool. I think that they got closer after Jalen Brunson actually came in the game initially. Like they were only up 18 and then Jalen Brunson came in and then they got it down to 16 or 15. Like it didn't really change anything. You could have gone a few more possessions with Deuce McBride to see if it gets down to 12. Before you start, okay, let's get Jalen Brunson in. But to your point, yes, the way the NBA is played, 20-point lead is not a safe lead anymore. But you have to also think about the minutes load on these guys, the fact that they were playing a second half of a back-to-back, the fact that Dante DiVincenzo played 41 minutes in the first game, and now you got him playing close to 40 minutes in the second game. Like, you're gonna wear these guys out. You know, Josh Hart had 42 minutes. Precious Achiuwa played 40 minutes. Jalen Brunson played 38. DiVincenzo played 39. Like, you two games in a row of that? Like, it's after this next game, it really kind of surprised me that they even had that kind of energy left in the tank. But to finish off this game, Knicks played as hard as you can imagine they're going to play. A lot of people were jumping the gun along with us, referring to the title of our last game, our last podcast. A lot of people were ready to jump out the window because we beat this team, and not because this team, the Utah Jazz team, is like, oh, one of the best teams in the league, but because we did it missing OG, missing Randle, missing Mitch, missing guys that would be, you know, a primary factor in the season and in the playoffs. And it's still kind of like, ho-hum, we're going to beat you by double digits, 20 points, whatever. Like, it didn't seem to matter, even second game of back-to-back. How'd you feel after this one?
I was worried coming into this game a little bit because, you know, Utah beat us last time. They got some size. Walker Kessler was punching everything to start this game. And I just wanted to see the Knicks put their foot on their throat because they by far are the better team. And they definitely showed that in the second half. So I was pretty much given what I was expected for the most part. So I don't really have any huge takeaways from this game. I'm ready to go on to the next one. What about you?
Okay. You came out of that kind of feeling ho-hum, probably because you jumped out the window a long time ago.
Yeah, I jumped out the window a while ago.
Yeah.
I've been stand-ins watching.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just looking at every game, looking for the end result, because I know we could get into it after this next game, but the Knicks started off this month, what, as a 6 seed, and now they're one game behind for the 2nd seed.
Yep.
But before we get into that, on Thursday, February 1st, the Indiana Pacers came into town to face off against the Knicks. And this is the game where the Knicks All-Star not the Knicks All-Star reserves, but the All-Star reserves were announced.
Yep.
And two Knicks were announced as All-Star reserve players, Jalen Brunson and Julius Randle. First time All-Star for Jalen Brunson. Third time that that Julius Randle has been an All-Star for the Knicks in 4 years, which is impressive to me.
Yep. We'll talk a little bit about it.
Knicks haven't had two All-Stars since Tyson Chandler and Carmelo Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that team won 50 games, I believe. That was a 12-13 season where the Knicks went to the second round against Indiana. And this team, I feel like, is better than that one. So I just thought that was a big thing that the Knicks have two All-Stars, top 3 seed coming into this game. And Tyrese Halliburton, who's the best player in the Indiana Pacers, he's playing in this game, but he was on a minute restriction. The Knicks were out 3 starters, no Randle, no OG, and of course no Mitchell Robinson.
Yep.
Also, Quentin Grimes is out for this game.
Yep.
And the beginning of this game, it kind of looked a little shaky. Like, Indiana had a 10-point lead. They held advantage for nearly the entire first half. The Knicks kept going on runs, but they were so shorthanded. It was just like, I don't know if they're going to make this comeback and be able to keep this streak alive. Because after the last game, the Knicks went on an 8-game winning streak. Or with the last Knicks win, that was their 8th win in this winning streak.
Yep.
And it looked like Indiana was coming into the Garden to take a road win. Halliburton was balling, but
this was the game you predicted that the Knicks were going to lose.
I know, and it was looking like I was going to be right. But luckily, the Knicks fight. The Knicks come back. They come into every night the same way. Even if they're not playing the greatest in the first half, they're still going to put an effort together in the 3rd and 4th quarter to make a comeback. Knicks took the lead in the 4th quarter behind a gritty Jalen Brunson performance. He was getting beat up all night. The referees weren't really calling nothing. He getting hit all in the face. He had like a black eye, or he probably has a black eye now after that game.
Yeah, his eye was kind of swollen when right after you looked. He was like, yeah, he looked like he got punched in the eye.
Yeah, like they was wilding him up, and the refs didn't even call nothing. So, nope. But in the fourth quarter, Jalen Brunson came alive. He finished this night with 40 points. Dante DiVincenzo had a great start to the game. He hit like a few threes, but then he went quiet in the second quarter, and then second half he hit a few key baskets. He had 20 points this game. But this was mainly a Jalen Brunson night. He was announced to be an all-star. He came out, put the team on his back. Tyrese Haliburton didn't play the entire fourth quarter. So that just means that the entire fourth quarter is going to belong to Jalen Brunson. And that's exactly what happened.
You got to put the requisite amount of emotion involved in this night, man. Like,
that's what I got you for. Knicks won.
Knicks won, right?
109 to 105 behind.
The emotion surrounding this game, like, I can't even put it into words. Like, you can manufacture the emotion of Jalen Brunson being announced as an all-star, Julius Randle, who it was announced that same day officially that he had a dislocated shoulder and he would be out 2 to 3 weeks. He's also announced as an all-star. And, you know, just from that, you could manufacture some emotion. But Knicks coming into this with an 8-game win streak, looking for their 9th straight. And then you see the amount of energy that they come out with is just not there. And then you see Tyrese Haliburton dunk on Dante DiVincenzo, and you see Dante DiVincenzo push him after that, and the motion from that. And then you see Jalen Brunson getting whacked all game, and everybody's complaining about the refs who were horrible this game. The refs were terrible. And all of a sudden, and Indiana is in this playoff race, right? Indiana is one of the teams when all of those Eastern Conference teams are all bunched up and they all have the exact same record. Indiana Pacers, Orlando Magic, New York Knicks, Miami Heat, Cleveland Cavaliers, they're all bunched in, and this is an important game. And it's like, damn, are the Knicks going to lose another one to the Indiana Pacers? And then you see the physicality go up. It starts to be more like a playoff game. And you see in the fourth quarter, after the Knicks have been down the entire game, the Knicks finally get it to within one. And then they finally take the lead and they finally get ahead. And then the Pacers don't go away. And the Knicks, who are up one, they give the ball to Jalen Brunson, who gets whacked in the face immediately after getting the ball. And you like, they don't call it. Pacers get the ball. They score because they're right under their own basket because the refs didn't call anything. And now the Knicks are down one again. And it's like, damn. He's on the ground holding his face, hitting the floor with his feet.
Kicking his feet, yep.
And it's like, man. That's that moment right there takes the energy out of you. Like, it can. You've seen it on Knicks teams before. Like, something unfair happens. And they should have called a foul and they didn't. And the Knicks don't get the benefit of the call. And now what was, okay, you a hard-fought win. Now it's like, damn, y'all fought, but now y'all about to take this L. And Brunson comes back in. I still bloodshot. Kind of swollen, half open. And he's telling Dante DiVincenzo, yo, do this, or that. Dante DiVincenzo brings the ball up. They almost lose the ball, giving it to Jalen Brunson. And right after getting punched in the eye, he goes up, scores that layup and one. And it's like, oh, man. And everything after that, from Jalen Brunson knocking down his shots to Precious Achiuwa doing a putback dunk, all the emotion of, this guy is our guy, is our point guard, fighting through it, getting hit, not getting the call, just getting beat up on the same night that he's announced as an all-star reserve.
At home.
At home, in front of the Garden, they're cheering MVP, MVP. And he's fighting for a victory, None of his guys are there. Julius Randle ain't there. OG Anunoby, our best defender, ain't there. The guy who started the season as a starting center, Mitchell Robinson, ain't there. The guy who started the season as our two guard, Quentin Grimes, ain't there. And you will this team to a victory after all of that? You can't. It's a storybook game. Like, the emotion of that game, it was palpable. It was evident. Like, and then Jalen Brunson gives his interview about being selected as an all-star, his first all-star selection of his career. And you see the emotion on his face, and you see he's trying not to cry. And he can't answer. The guy who has an answer for everything, he's a media trained, and his father was a basketball player. And even then, in this moment, after a game like this, he can't find the words to say. He had all game. He knew when the game started, he was an all-star. Mm-hmm. But because of how this all played out, so emotional for everybody, for fans, for him, for the team. You can't make it up. You can't manufacture that. This game, you can't manufacture. The story to wake you get the emotions from, like with the All-Star, all right, cool. But the way it played out, it was just too perfect.
And it's everything that goes into it as well. Like all the disrespect that he's taken throughout the years. When he first signed as a Knick, everyone talking about it was an overpay. They was calling the Knicks the mid-3 with RJ Barrett, Jalen Brunson, and Julius Randle. He comes to the Knicks. Biggest free agent signing in the history of the Knicks, in my opinion. He's the best point guard since Clyde Frazier. Most talented player since Patrick Ewing. Well, I don't know. It's weird to say because Carmelo was just one of the most talented players we've ever had. But he hasn't seen the success that or had the team that's built for success like how Jalen Brunson does now. And it's mainly because of him, too.
I made a joke on Twitter to Andrew Claudio of Knicks Film School. I said, oh, you got to pick one now, Jalen Brunson or Carmelo Anthony. But I said it in jest because that's not fair. With that said, if I had to make a choice, I know who I'm choosing. And that's because one player didn't make me feel the way that the other one made me feel. Overall, right? One player we all knew what the complaints were. And you know, it's one of those things where you're not behind the scenes, so you don't know how much to complain about it, but you see what's on the court and it's like, okay, right? You kind of just got to accept it. You don't have that with the other guy. And that's not to disparage Carmelo, right? Carmelo's going to be one of the 100 greatest players in the NBA. And he's one of the best scorers. You could say he's top 5 scorer all time in the NBA. But with that being said, the mentality was with Jalen Brunson and the way he carries himself on the court, off the court, and his dedication to winning above all else, you know, it just gives you a feeling as a fan that I think even with all that Carmelo Anthony has done for us as Knicks fans, I think that when it's all said and done, even if Jalen Brunson doesn't get that level of the same amount of success that Carmelo Anthony had as a Knick, just what he's done so far, you just can't quantify it. You can't. It is what it is. He has made me feel more love for this Knicks team than any team, with Carmelo. The only team that comes close, there's two teams that come close. One that has Carmelo Anthony on it, the one that was the 2 seed and had Jason Kidd and all those guys and all the veterans and whatever. And the other team is the Jeremy Lin one that didn't really feature Carmelo and Lin at the same time. So, and this team, I feel like this team
is better than both.
Is better than both. And if they don't end up this, if the season doesn't end up better than both, I'm still going to feel higher on this team than that team. just because of how they interact with each other, how they interact with each other in front of us as fans, how they seem to love each other and care about each other. There's no egos. There's no me first. There's no, and they're going out there and they're playing hard on both ends of the court, not just on offense, not just on defense, but both ends of the court. They're sharing the ball. They're defending together. They're doing all of the things that we used to love about the 90s Knicks.
Rebounding.
Which you didn't even really pay attention to or see, but I saw, and I didn't get it at the time, and I get it now as a fan now, that these guys come in and work hard and do what they need to do to get the win. No game is easy. Like, no game is, it's a hard-fought game. You see that now. I don't remember feeling like that for an entire season of any Knicks team that I was a fan of.
Yeah. This team is better than the 90s Knicks to me.
Well, whatever. Well, I don't want to disparage the 90s Knicks.
I'm just saying that's how good this team is currently.
I wasn't cognizant of, I was watching them rooting against them because they were boring to me. They weren't flashy and all this stuff. They were, and the identity of a hard fought win didn't mean nothing to me when I was younger. And now I'm watching the game and analyzing it, and I'm seeing how difficult it is to get into the paint and do some of the stuff that Jalen Brunson does. Not saying that anybody in the Knicks back then could do those things, but the energy required to do the things that the Knicks did required energy and toughness. So I can't quantify it because I wasn't there for it. So I don't want to compare it like that, especially with the rules being different and stuff like that. And they had Patrick Ewing, who is Patrick Ewing.
Yeah.
That's the other part of it, too.
But they're doing all the same things all those 90s teams did, plus
being more efficient offensively.
Being more efficient offensively, right. Being more talented and being more cohesive as a unit in general. Like, it's bigger than just defense. They're top 10 in top 7 in defense and top 7 in offense.
Well,
first in net rating since OG and Anobi's been traded here.
Mm-hmm.
They're number 1 in every, stat that actually matters. And, it's all because of Jalen Brunson. It all stems around him.
The only team to win 14 games in the month of January since the 1993 Knicks team, which made it to the NBA Finals, which means absolutely nothing, right? But if I'm going to give your statement, your Knicks take, which we didn't even set up, this is kind of like a naturally evolving take that just transpired here.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm going to give any validity to it, it's that this team has done something that hasn't been done since the 90s in terms of wins and losses. And it's not something that I can poo-poo or ignore.
Tibbs deserves a lot of credit, too.
Yeah.
He gets overshadowed.
And he got credit.
Way too much.
And he got credit winning Coach of the Month, Eastern Conference Coach of the Month this month, mm-hmm. or last month in January, with those 14 wins. A lot of people thought that Jalen Brunson should have won Player of the Month Eastern Conference over Donovan Mitchell. But I don't think that was that egregious, considering how most of the month the Cavs only had him, and Jalen Brunson still had Julius Randle for a lot of the month and
Jared Allen
and OG Anunoby for a lot of the month. So I think that he was very close second. I'm not, either way, I think it would have been a good selection. But I wasn't too mad about it. But congrats to Tibbs winning Coach of the Month. And
Brunson was the runner-up for sure. And the Cavaliers' month was not too different from ours. Like, they started off...
I think they have one less loss than us.
Yeah, they started off since December, 13-12, just like how we were just a few games above 500. And then they just went on a streak where they won 12 or 13.
Right.
The Knicks went on a 5-game winning streak to start the month, lost those 2 games, and now they're on a 9-game winning streak.
Right.
Every year that Tibbs has been the coach, they've gone on these big streaks. When we were going through the schedule in the beginning of the year, right when it was released, and we were just talking about how every year Tibbs has a stretch of games where he has 9-game winning streaks.
Yep.
Last year, he went on an 8-game winning streak. Remember when Deuce McBride and Grimes went into the lineup to replace Evan Fournier and Derrick Rose? Yep. Then we made the trade for Josh Hart, 9-game winning streak. Year before that, no, not the year before that, the We Here season when we was in the pandemic for 2020. And that was the first year that the Knicks had Tibbs as a coach. And they went on a 7-game, 9-game winning streak twice. I mean, two streaks in the same season. I just feel like Tom Thibodeau does not receive the credit that he deserves.
There's only one Knicks coach in history to have more 9-game winning streaks coaching the Knicks, and that's Red Holzman. And Tibbs has 3 9-game winning streaks. I think Red Holzman has about 5. And depending on how long Tibbs is coaching, if we get way more talent, he's going to he could match Red Holzman, legendary head coach. So let's see. We talked about this. Let us talk about the Randle injury update real quick. He was announced that we said in the last game, 2 or 3 weeks, and then they are going to reevaluate him, which means that doesn't necessarily mean he's coming back after 2 to 3 weeks. Yeah. He's going to be reevaluated, and maybe he comes back, maybe he don't. How do you feel about the information or lack thereof so far with Julius Randle?
It makes me excited because you know a dislocated shoulder could have negative repercussions, I guess, for your season. But, like, if you feel like he can be reevaluated in 2 to 3 weeks, that means that it's not bad enough to the point where you absolutely need surgery. I would think you would want to give it as much time as possible. And Randle has shown that he's someone who battles through all types of pain and aches.
Mm-hmm.
He heals fast. And I think it looked worse than what it actually is. But I'm just speaking from the outside looking in because we have no information outside of what they tell us. But he's only going to be gone for a month for sure so far. And if they feel like he could be reevaluated in 2 to 3 weeks, then maybe he'll be day to day from that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have the talent on this team to stug it out for this stretch.
So it sounds to me like you are okay with the Knicks not making a move prior to the trade deadline, even though they're not going to have enough information on Julius Randle.
Not a trade. I want them to pick up Kyle Lowry still. I'm not going to lie. And the thing that I failed to mention last week when we were talking about Kyle Lowry, outside of the fact that he was a Villanova guy, he's played multiple years with OG Anunoby in Toronto. They won the championship together. And I don't think that that's like a little thing, mainly because another thing I wanted to say about the Indiana game was Precious Achiuwa was the one who was matched up with Pascal Siakam the whole game.
Yep.
Siakam was looking like he was just going crazy on him the whole first half because Precious was his backup, if I'm not mistaken, for years in Toronto. So if there's anyone who knows how to get comfortable against Precious Achiuwa, it's Pascal Siakam. And the way that Pascal came out and guarded him in the second half and basically shut him down in the fourth quarter was pretty impressive. But damn, I'm forgetting where this all came from. We was just talking about
making a trade.
Pick up. And that's what I'm saying. I don't think we need to pick up a backup big man. I don't think we need to make a trade for a big man. I think Precious Achiuwa is more than enough to get us through this stretch here. And even after Randle comes back and Mitch comes back, he still should be in a rotation.
And we signed Taj Gibson to a 10-day contract. So, you know, we're good.
Right. So if there's anything that we need, I think it's a point guard.
Right.
Kyle Lowry should be the cheapest option. He would be the biggest bang for your buck coming off the buyout market, in my opinion. And he would fit in seamlessly. There's not much that you would have to teach him, I don't think.
Right.
Because the way that the Knicks play is how Kyle Lowry plays. Pesky, annoying defense, and he's a spot-up shooter. And we're not going to rely on him to be running the offense and taking control of the offense for plays at a time. He's just going to be a connecting piece.
Well, the reason why I phrased the question is because yesterday Leon Rose and Worldwide West met with the head of Clutch to bury the hatchet. For those of you who are not well-versed in agencies and all those kind of things, the thing with the Knicks is that Leon Rose is the former head of CAA, Creative Artists Agency, which has managers and, managers of big name clients. Julius Randle was part of CAA. Jalen Brunson is part of CAA.
LeBron used to be part of CAA. Right. Leon Rose used to be his agent.
Right. Leon Rose used to be an agent of many top NBA players. And now he is the team president of the New York Knicks. And a lot of times when players are rumored to come to the Knicks, a lot of things that our question is, okay, what agency are they with? Are they with CAA? Are they with Clutch? Is there any kind of connection there? And for a lot of players that have seen minutes or have come to the Knicks, they were under CAA, and people feel like, oh, that's why.
Well, Cam Reddish was Clutch, if I'm not mistaken.
And then he got traded, and now there was like, oh, it's because he was Clutch, which I don't know if that means a lot.
And the fact that he wasn't playing, they didn't like that a lot. So
yes, but we know why.
They felt like it was favoritism towards the CAA clients.
Right. But that clearly wasn't the case. So the reason why I posed this question is we know that there's a couple of trade targets out there. A couple of them are part of Clutch. One of them being Malcolm Brogdon. One of them being DeJounte Murray.
One of them being LeBron James.
Well, I'm not going to give that LeBron James thing too much clout. LeBron James is not leaving LA unless he wants a trade. A lot of people are just kind of speculating and stuff like that.
And he makes too much money for us to make a trade.
He makes too much money. His timeline is not our timeline. He's 39, like going on 40. Like we're not picking him up to like replace Julius Randle in the starting lineup, even though he is still playing like outstandingly. Like he's going to probably play another 2-3 years. He looks like he could and still be serviceable as a starter. He got voted into the All-Star game, at 39, like, Jesus Christ. I'm not giving that too much clout, even though the Lakers are terrible and they probably should trade him. But two of those guys we've mentioned, DeJounte Murray, Malcolm Brogdon, do you think that there's something to that now that we've spoken with that? The former head of CAA and the head of Clutch have squashed the beef.
Yeah, like this has also been in the works for a while.
Also, let me point out also, when DeJounte Murray trade rumors were around, what's the one thing that the one piece of news that came out of that? Clutch is kind of hesitant to kind of negotiate based on DeJounte Murray because any before any trade happens, they would want to have a meeting with Leon Rose to kind of bury that hatchet first. So to hear that news linked to DeJounte Murray and then now seeing, that meeting happened yesterday, I don't know if that means anything. Do you?
It's tough to tell because we don't know, how the trade talks are even going on Atlanta's part. Like, what do they really want? Are they willing to budge from this we need to recoup everything that we gave out for DeJounte Murray, or would they just be...
I haven't heard that, though. I haven't heard we need to recoup everything that we gave up. I've heard that they know they're not going to. They heard they're not going to get what they gave up. And they're understanding of that, which is a great start.
At least right now.
Well, I don't know about right now, right? DeJounte Murray has had a couple game winners since it sounded like they were willing to give him up.
That's why they would keep him.
He's been very good for them. So I don't know. I don't know what it is right now. But if that is still the line now, that we know we're not going to give up, we're not going to get what we gave up, That's a great start. There is a limit to what the Knicks can and should give up. I think my bar and your bar is entirely different, which is what we discussed last week. But with this meeting, do you think that that means it's more likely we get him, or does it mean like it's just something that they just wanted to do?
I think it's more likely that clutch clients in general aren't going to be, what's the word I'm thinking of?
Against?
Like, clutch agents were against sending their clients to the Knicks because they thought there was a CAA favoritism.
Mm-hmm.
With this meeting, it just shows that Leon Rose is going to have more options to choose from.
Absolutely.
Outside of just CAA agency, he can also make trades for clutch players and not have to worry about if they're going to be starting any types of, like, locker room issues, trying mm-hmm. to...
And I think somebody...
Get more minutes or whatever.
Somebody on Twitter also made the point, and I think it's a good one, that the Knicks have been playing so well, like, this whole agency beef thing is not... Like, if a player wants to go to New York, y'all got to squash that beef. Because what you going to tell you? Nah, we shouldn't go to New York because the CAA... They're winning.
Right.
They're playing very well. And they're missing guys, so they can play even better than what they're playing now. And you going to tell me I can't go there and potentially do better for my career, maybe win a title? Like...
Yeah.
You bugging. So
this is equivalent to like the Knicks squashing beef with the Raptors about that lawsuit and them making a trade for OG Anunoby. Like, come on. Business comes first.
Mm-hmm.
You want players. You want to be able to make sure everything's going to be copacetic.
Business is business.
You got to just make sure that your team has everything that it needs to compete. And if you have a player that you think fits in perfectly, that's assigned to clutch, and the agents are the only ones that's holding it up, you got to get that rectified. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, I don't really see anything huge changing as a result of this. I don't see DeJounte Murray being the target, but if they do come down on their asking price, I can see the Knicks pursuing that opportunity a lot more than maybe a week ago, even though this has been in the works for a little while.
Right.
But go ahead.
No, I was just about to say, CAA versus clutch. Kind of leads right into the upcoming games, don't it? Because what we got coming up?
The Knicks and the Lakers are going to be facing off against each other in the Garden today, February 3rd, 8:30 p.m. The last game the Lakers played was against the Boston Celtics, where LeBron James did not play. Anthony Davis did not play. They were in Boston. Guess what happened? Boston got their ass whooped. And Cam Reddish.
Who would have guessed that? Not me.
Jared and Vanderbilt and Gabe Vincent were all out as well. They may all be out as well again today.
I don't think. Cam Reddish, Jared Vanderbilt, and Gabe Vincent will definitely be out.
But LeBron and AD might be playing.
Yeah.
And we beat them last game when LeBron and AD was playing in LA. OG Anunoby is questionable still. Quentin Grimes is going to be out. The Lakers are 500 currently. They're ninth in the West.
Mm-hmm.
I see, me personally, the Knicks' first 10-game winning streak in the last decade.
I agree with you. I don't. Now, there's a couple caveats to that. It definitely does matter whether LeBron and AD are playing, and it definitely matters whether OG is playing. And those are things at this point we really don't know. By the time you guys watch this, you'll know whether they all played or whether they all didn't play, or who out of those did and who out of those didn't. So there's and there's only one day game rest for the Knicks, and they've been playing a lot of minutes. And that I think that is going to be very important because they've been looking tired as hell. And as long as the Lakers don't push to the buttons, the right buttons, talking smack to Jalen Brunson, talking smack to Dante DiVincenzo, fouling, hitting them. The same things these last couple teams have been doing. It's like, y'all are doing this, y'all doing the wrong thing. Y'all try to give them motivation and try to wake them up? No, let them play tired. If the Lakers do the smart thing and just take advantage of a tired team, I could see the Lakers winning. But again, if OG Anunoby's playing, that's going to limit the minutes for some of these other guys. It's going to let them play harder. That should give the Knicks a win. The Lakers are terrible, are a bad team. They're 500. Knicks put away 500 teams for the most part. And that they should do that with a more healthy team tonight. All right.
Yeah.
After that, the Knicks will get 2 days of rest, Sunday and Monday, and come back Tuesday, February 6th at 7:30 p.m. in the Garden again. All of these games will be in the Garden, and all these games will be at home. And last time we played this glorified G team, the Memphis Grizzlies.
G League team. You said G team.
Oh, well, this glorified pickup basketball team who is signing guys off of the street and say, yo, just give us 48 minutes or give us 36 minutes or whatever you can give us, really. Like, we need players. I was very disappointed in the Knicks, how they performed.
There's no Brunson, though.
It did not matter to me that there was no Brunson because they still had the best players on
and
the court.
And they won?
Yes. Still
disappointing. A win's a win. You got to take it how you can get it. They didn't know any of these players on the Memphis G League roster. And G.G. Jackson was their best player. They know what to expect this time around. They got Jalen Brunson. It's going to be a blowout.
What does any of that have to do with making a basic pass, which they couldn't do for like a whole quarter?
Don't matter.
Or what does it have to do with dribbling the ball, which seemed like they forgot how to dribble? Just saying. Nick should not have a repeat performance of that and put this team away. I don't care if they do it in the second quarter, third quarter. Like, if it get off to a little slow start because they're tired, I ought to understand that, okay? Don't make this a game where I'm like, damn, they can they lose to this terrible team?
11-game win streak, man.
And 11 speaking games. Speaking of, French, if they do everything that we say that they're going to do, they're going to head into their game, the next game, against the Dallas Mavericks.
On Thursday.
Looking for a 12-game winning streak. So before I let you get into that game, I just want to say, if they make it that far, next episode, I'm going to definitely be giving you your flowers. Because what did you predict?
Oh, man.
It's to start the season.
I said in December, there's a stretch of games where the Knicks could go on a nice little run.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't do it then, January, they could go on a nice little stretch where they could win 10 to 12 games.
You said 12 games specifically.
Specifically.
Right. That's right. Specifically. Yeah. But you did say that. So next week, we are possibly looking at a situation where I can be giving you your props, sir. So, but even with that, even if they don't make it, I was like, all right, nine games max. And I don't even know if they're going to do that. They've done that in the past, twice in the past few seasons. You deserve your props for because I didn't see 10 games. So if they win tonight, that'll be 10 games. And I think that you, just for getting close, you deserve that props. So next game, Knicks versus Dallas Mavericks.
It's all due to that Denver game. That Denver game was
you
the
didn't
one.
Think you did, well, yeah.
I remember saying it too. Like Denver's, like when I was looking at the schedule, I'm like, Denver's going to be the tricky one. But if they win that Denver game,
yep,
that's going to be the streak right there.
And it wasn't asinine for you to question because we swept them last year too.
For sure.
But I was like, I don't know if I see them sweeping them this year, but they definitely beat them.
For sure. But the next game that we were referencing just a minute ago, Thursday, February 8th, the Knicks are going to be playing the Dallas Mavericks in the MSG. And Dallas ended our last 5-game winning streak.
Mm-hmm.
Kyrie Irving went off for 40 points. This looks like the opportunity for the Knicks to get some revenge.
It's a little hard to predict. But yeah, they did do that last game. That was without Luka Doncic. That right. was with Kyrie Irving. And we have no idea whether Kyrie's going to play this game. And Luka probably will play this game. But last game they lost last year, they lost to Dallas Mavericks with that Luka Doncic triple double. What do you have? 50+ points?
60
points.
20 rebounds.
Yeah. So Dallas games are usually a game I get up for.
They just lost by like 40 points without Luka and Kyrie against the Timberwolves.
Though. Right, right. But that was without Luka and Kyrie and Derek Lively. And
game before that, Luka went off for 45 and 15 assists and 9 rebounds. So it's going to be, it really just comes down to who's playing.
Are the Knicks going to make it to 12? What is your prediction?
Not only are they going to make it to 12, the Knicks are going to finish this week as this number two seed, which means Tom Thibodeau is going to be coaching the All-Star game for the East. Come on, yeah. Round of applause. Round of applause.
I like how you started off with a dramatic smack of the table, and then you finished it off with with you doing the congratulations with your hands when nobody applauded you or anything.
Come on now.
And then you asked for applause after it.
Round of applause. We making it happen.
Oh my
Talk
God.
Talk into existence. Tibbs is going to be playing all his starters in an All-Star game, 40 minutes. He's going to use three players off the bench, and he's going to have them playing defense on All-Star weekend. Come on, y'all.
Just to add to your point, by the end of tonight, the Knicks could have sole possession of the two seed. They are only a half game back right now of the Milwaukee Bucks, and the Bucks do play tonight, and the Knicks play tonight. With a Knicks win and a Bucks victory, Bucks loss, the Knicks will officially have sole control over the two seed in the Eastern Conference, which
is something else I should receive some credit for because I called that as well.
Yes, you should. Thank you should you, reserve. Thank you, thank you. Yeah, sometimes you stumble into some victories.
Yeah, I get on the roll.
But yeah, that especially the way that the Knicks have gotten to this point, I would not have predicted it. Maybe if I had known that OG Anunoby was going to be a part of it, I could see it. But to see that Julius Randle dislocated his shoulder, OG Anunoby is dealing with some elbow inflammation and is missing games, and we're still streaking into potentially the two seed in the Eastern Conference. So for those of you guys who've jumped out the window, jumped the gun, those of you who are you know, looking at this team and want to overreact, there's very good reason for it.
Now's the time.
And me being somebody who likes to take measured, like there's things that I can say to be like, you guys shouldn't jump the gun.
I don't own a ruler.
But even with that, you cannot deny how well this team is playing, even missing some of their top guys. And the main reason for that is the guy who caused us emotion in that last game against Indiana, Jalen Brunson. Without him, none of this is possible. So who knows where this Knicks team can go? Even me, who's being measured and doesn't want to jump out the window, doesn't want to jump the gun, doesn't want to say we can beat any team in a 7-game series. I don't want to say that thing. Watching this team, the way that they're playing right now, I can't even deny anybody who wants to say those things. And that's significant in and of itself. So let us...
Knicks make it into the finals?
No. Let us... close it out.
Get into the finals.
No, we're not talking about that now.
All right.
Anything else you want to talk about? No. Let's close it out now. Once again, thank you guys. You see how French just says things and it just gets me. Nah, don't go there. Thank you guys for watching. We see the subscriptions and the views still going up. We appreciate you guys. Make sure you guys comment. One of the last few episodes, I saw the comments got a little bit higher. So let's keep that going. Let's keep that rolling so that we can get you guys into some sort of sweepstakes. We can get you guys some merchandise. We can get you guys some free things. Website is going to relaunch. Make sure you check that, especially if you want to get involved in some of these sweepstakes. If you want to buy merchandise, if you want to stay up to date on anything regarding the Knicks take. See my brother over here to my left is showing off one of the many items that you can get. I'm also wearing some Knicks take merchandise. They got hats, we got stickers, we got all kinds of stuff. So please make sure you check us out there. French, you got anything?
Man, I'm not going to be the only one jumping the gun. If you watching this video all the way up until this point, drop a prediction of where you think the Knicks is going to end the season at.
I like that one.
Do you see 50 wins?
Do you see 55?
Do you see 55? Or do you see a finals run like I'm saying? Do you see, I'm seeing it.
Do you see hashtag 53 wins?
The vision is clear. But outside of that, thank y'all for listening. Thank y'all for coming through to check with us.
Yep. Do you think they'll win?
The win? The finals?
The whole thing.
It depends. I don't know. Because the Clippers, they give me some cause for concern. If we playing the Suns or somebody, I think we could win the finals. What you think?
I don't think I'm scared of the Clippers in a 7-game series.
That's a tough one.
I do agree. It's a tough one. But I'm trying to think of the matchups. And they don't have anybody. I don't think that their lineup matches up well with ours when we're fully healthy. I'm still worried about Denver. I know we beat them by 30 plus.
A lot of teams don't repeat. So it ain't even given that they're going to make it to the finals.
It's hard,
again.
But when the team doesn't repeat, you know why. And I'm trying to think of a reason why the Denver Nuggets won't repeat. So you guys already know I'm not saying the Knicks are going to. I'm not even saying they're going to make the finals, let alone win it. But if they were to make the finals, I would be scared of Denver.
OKC?
No, I'm not scared Minnesota? Of OKC. If Minnesota made it to the finals, I would be scared of them. I don't think they're going to make it to the finals. But if Minnesota won 3 playoff rounds with the defense that they have and with Anthony Edwards as their best offensive player, if they made it to the finals, yes, I would be scared of them because they're doing something to win and make it to the finals over some of these other great teams in the Western Conference. If the Knicks saw them in like, if they were in the same conference, wouldn't be scared of them at all. Because I'm not thinking they're going to make it to the finals because they're not tested. Anthony Edwards isn't tested. Carl Anthony Towns he's not tested. Jaden McDaniels ain't tested. The only guy who's kind of tested is Rudy Gobert.
The Lakers made it to the conference finals last year without really being tested.
Lakers have LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
It was mainly
were
due to their defense, though.
Carl Anthony Towns to either one of those guys?
No.
Rudy Gobert to either one of those guys? If the guys who are leading your team, if they're tested, that's all you need. You don't need everybody else to be, because they're going to get that team in order.
You've proven my point. I would never compare Carl Towns to them because he's not like
but
that.
But my point is, if they made it to the finals, that means they've been tested.
That don't mean that they like that, though. That means that they made it to the finals and they had some good matchups.
You got to be like that to make it to the finals is what my point is. If it was the conference finals and they played, I'd be like, nah, I'd take the Knicks all day. If they make it to the finals after the first round, second round, conference finals, and now they're in the finals and you got to face them in a... That means they've tested. They've gone through everything. They've seen everything that they need to see. And now it's just about who's better.
Miami made it to the finals last year and they not like that. They tested and they had some good matchups, but are you afraid to match up with them in the finals if you're Denver? No.
You just made my point. My point was, if you make it to the finals, it's just about who is better. It's just about who's better. Who's got the most talent on that team?
Or who's been the most lucky. The only reason Miami made it to the finals is because Tatum twisted his ankle in the first quarter, not game 7.
Shout out to Caesar, who's producing this episode of the Knicks Take podcast, who threw out this question about if the Knicks are going to win in the finals and added on another 5 to 10 minutes of discussion of something
that is going to happen.
The Timberwolves are not making it to the finals against the New York Knicks. I will put money on that those two teams are not going to be. One of them might. Both of them at the same time? No. It's not happening.
Okay.
But yeah.
No team in the West scares me, though.
Like, if the Timberwolves made it, I would be scared of that because they have the size and the defense to hamper Jalen Brunson and Julius Randle. And then who are you hoping to lead them to 7 wins? I mean, not 7, 4 wins out of 7. I'd be scared of that. I'm scared of that more than most other teams. But I don't think that they have the... toughness, the talent, and they haven't been tested to make the finals. I think next year would be their year.
Jalen Brunson's better than everybody on Minnesota.
Thank you for watching the Knicks Take Podcast. We love y'all. We appreciate y'all. Peace.
We'd like to bid you adieu. Thank you for listening to the Knicks Take Podcast. Peace, y'all.
The Knicks Take Podcast. Yeah, what it do?